This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. You may be in the process of filing your taxes now, and if you're a parent, one of the changes to your return this year relates to the child tax credit. Last year, 2021, that credit was expanded, and families were receiving direct cash payments monthly, $300 per child under the age of 6 and $250 per child under 17 for about 6 months. But those payments stopped after December because Congress allowed the expanded child tax credit to expire. While parents can still get the remainder of that credit when they file their taxes, many middle and lower income families are feeling a financial squeeze without that extra monthly cash flow. For the rest of today's show, we're going to be talking with researchers and early childhood education advocates in Illinois about what the credit meant for families. And we also want to hear from you, especially if you're a parent who was receiving those direct cash payments under the expanded childhood tax credit. Did you want them to continue, or maybe you don't miss them? We'd love to hear from you either way. Give us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. And now I'd like to welcome our guests for the remainder of this hour. Cassie Davis is Manager for Data and Research with Voices for Illinois Children. They put together the yearly Kids Count Report for Illinois on the well-being of children in the state. Cassie, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me this morning. Great to be here.
I'd also like to welcome Irita Gassner, Vice President of Illinois Policy for Start Early, which is an organization that advocates for early learning and childcare. Irita, thank you for joining us as well.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Dylan Belisle, a postdoctoral research associate at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign in the School of Labor and Employment Relations. He wrote a report last November looking at the child tax credit and a similar program. Dylan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, we're also joined by Letty Hicks, a parent in East St. Louis who is receiving the payments and is a parent leader and activist with COFI Power Pack Illinois and a member of the Stepping Out of Poverty campaign. Letty, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, again, we'd love to hear from you, especially if you are a parent who is receiving direct cash payments under the expanded child tax credit. How do you feel about those payments ending? You can join the conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. So, Irita, I want to begin with you with a sort of basic question here. Can you just explain for our listeners how this tax credit worked?
Sure. Although some of my colleagues might be more well-versed on some of the ins and outs of it, as I understand it, one of the benefits of the most recent tax credits is that folks really didn't have to do much of anything to receive it, which was really terrific. They received the automatic payment or a check directly. Very often with some of the other tax credits that families have access to, sometimes there's some extra hoops to jump through and you might have to go to someone to get some help with that. And so the more simplified we can make this kind of a process, the more likely families who really can benefit the most are likely to be able to receive them.
Yeah, and Dylan, I don't know if you can talk any more about the mechanics of this in terms of, you know, how it differs from other tax credit programs that were out there.
Yeah, sure. So I think one of the big benefits of the child tax credits, actually the expansion of it, is that it's essentially all families, regardless of income, could get the credit. And that was a real big change from previous years where there were earning requirements where you had to have a certain amount of earnings to actually receive the credit. So, you know, that's definitely a huge, huge change. One thing that you, you know, to get the credit, you did have to file a tax return in your prior year. So if you happen to not file a tax return either because you didn't have the income amount that required you to, or maybe you
Okay, I think we had a little cutout with Dylan's audio there, so we're going to try and get him back. But for now, I'm going to go to Letty Hicks and just ask you if you can just talk a little bit about what the expanded, I understand you received some of these payments under the expanded tax credit. What did they mean for you? And Letty, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I don't know if you can just talk about what these expanded, to our listeners, we seem to be having some issues with our Zoom today and audio connections, but we're trying to work that out behind the scenes. So Letty Hicks, if you can just say, what did these expanded payments under this program mean for you and your family?
Okay, so as you stated, yes, I was receiving the child tax credit payments, and it made a big difference, especially, I was working from home, and my hours had decreased due to the fact that a lot of employers and a lot of parents, at home quarantine or whatnot. So therefore, I was not picking up that many hours. So that means that I was not, bringing in as much income to support my family. So, and then by me being a single parent, a mother of three, when the payments, was starting issue out, like I said, it made a big difference. I was able to, pay my bills on time. I was able to buy groceries for my children because, when you're working, sometimes you get little or no food stamps. So by me, was working or whatnot, I was receiving food stamps, but not that many food stamps based off my income. So as I say, as my hours had decreased due to COVID or whatnot, and a lot of people was working from home or some people weren't working at all, which caused my hours to drop. And so, I was still trying to, figure out how was I able to, feed my kids on such little income and not that many food stamps that I was receiving. So when those payments started getting issued, as I said, I was able to, buy groceries and then also, keep my bills paying on time. Mm-hmm. But now that those payments, now that we are not receiving those payments, I feel like I'm back where I was at last year and especially year before last, which that's why families like myself and like millions of other families need this, extra income to support families, who's not working or who's currently looking for work, or who's all working but not receiving enough income to support their family. To support their family, mm-hmm. As myself had mentioned. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that perspective and your experiences there. Let me just take a moment to remind our listeners, if you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about the expanded child tax credit and what the consequences of that not being renewed by Congress. A lot of families were receiving payments, $250 for children under 17, or even a little more than that if the child was younger than six, $300 per month. This was through the second half of 2021, but Congress was considering expanding that through or continuing that through the so-called Build Back Better legislation. But when that didn't pass and they didn't do anything separately just about this, those extra payments expired. And we're talking about the consequences of that for families across America and really here in Illinois. We just heard there from Letty Hicks, who is a parent activist with COFI and Power Pack Illinois and a member of the Stepping Out of Poverty campaign in East St. Louis. We are also speaking with Dylan Belisle, who's with the School of Labor and Employment Relations, a postdoc researcher there who wrote a report looking at this program and a similar program last fall. Irita Gassner is Vice President of Illinois Policy for Start Early, which advocates for early learning and childcare. And Cassie Davis is with Voices for Illinois Children and put together the yearly Kids Count report, looking at all kinds of aspects of the well-being of children in Illinois. 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation. 800-222-9455. If you have been receiving these payments under the expanded child tax credit, how you felt about that, and how you feel about them going away. 800-222-9455. Cassie Davis, let me ask you, how many, maybe you can just tell us a little bit about the Kids Count report and how many children in Illinois are, in fact, living in poverty?
Yes, thank you. So yes, we do the Kids Count report, and that is going to focus on child and family well-being indicators. And we released a 2021 report that was addressing poverty before and after the onset of COVID-19. And, you know, we know that from our 2021 report, child poverty in Illinois was at 16%. However, I want to point out that the overall child poverty rate for the state is deceiving, because when we disaggregate the data by race and ethnicity, there were significant disparities in the percentage of children living in poverty. There were 35% Black children living in poverty, which is almost double the state rate, 20% Latinx children living in poverty, and 9% of White children living in poverty. And when we looked at children living in areas of concentrated poverty, those disparities were even starker.
Let me, Dylan, can you talk a little bit about the fact that this program, I understand, went up to families that made $150,000 a year? I mean, can you put this in the perspective of other, American social welfare spending? I mean, was this sort of an attempt at social democracy, right? There's been talk about doing some kind of universal basic income in some quarters in recent years, but that idea has not seemed to have gotten very far in Congress. Can you put this in the context of that discussion and other programs America's had in the past?
Yeah, I can comment a little bit. I think one thing that it's important for all of us to recognize and realize is that raising children is expensive, right? And so for so long, we've kind of expected parents to absorb all of the costs related to raising children, even though, you know, the next generations are our children, right? And so I think that it makes sense that across low income, moderate income, and even some, you know, better off families, to have just a little bit extra benefit, you know, for all the different costs that are related to raising children. And we're also not talking about thousands and thousands of dollars, right? So the extended child tax credit was $3,000 per child, right? And so obviously at a national level, that is a lot of money. But I do think that we're already starting to see kind of the returns on that brings to families across the income distribution.
Interesting. What do you mean by the returns on that?
I would just say, you know, speaking to what Letty was talking about, right? So I think, you know, if we look for low and moderate income families, you know, wages have been very flat for several decades, right? But the cost of living continues to rise. And so extended child tax credit is sort of one policy that can sort of bridge the gap between what Letty was describing, right? You know, her income kind of changing from week to week, not having enough hours some weeks. So, you know, it's really important to make sure that as families kind of throughout the year that they have kind of, you know, resources that they can draw on if they happen to have a dip in their wage income, right? And so we also may see returns for higher income families, right? Then the sort of investments that they make into their children, maybe into going to different types of programs after school or so forth. So I think we'll see more as more data kind of comes out. We are still in the early stages. You know, we just ended this, but I'm pretty hopeful, and I hope that, you know, more people start seeing the benefits of this policy.
Yeah, Irita, let me ask you about that. Do you see a particular benefit to the way this program, gave payments out monthly as opposed to, you know, something that could be claimed on a tax return at the end of the year and kind of a lump sum payment?
Yeah, I think, I think there are benefits regardless, and these are really important strategies. Living in poverty is not great for the developing brain. It is tough on caregivers, tough to be available when you're worried about making ends meet. So I think the overall premise of ensuring that these are a part of the web of services and supports we should want in our country to support healthy families and children. But I think the ability to actually have that, to be able to count on that regular income each month versus having to sort of spread out expenditures or to defer expenditures until later, I'm sure help mitigate that stress for parents along the way. And we know that's really important for having healthy and strong families.
And Letty, we have to take a break in about a minute, but just briefly, was the sort of the monthly aspect of these payments, was it particularly helpful as opposed to something that, you know, could be done in filing taxes at the end of the year?
Yes, most definitely was helpful monthly. And to answer your second question, you know, we as Power Packers are currently working on a bill to be passed. It's called it's called the expansion of the Earned Income Tax Credit. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with this being expanding, like, you know, for the next following year for a bigger payment, this could also help support the, this can connect with the child tax credit.
Mm-hmm. Comes full circle. Yeah. All right, we need to, I'm sorry to interrupt, we need to take a break on our program here. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back. Listeners, we'd love to hear from you if you have been receiving these direct cash payments under the expanded child tax credit, or even if someone in your family has. We have some text messages we're going to read from our listeners, 800-222-9455. If you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455. We're going to continue after a short break. This is the 21st. Stay with us. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're spending the rest of the show today continuing our conversation about the effects of the expanded child tax credit, which gave payments of up to $300 per child under age 6, up to $250 per child under age 17 for a broad swath of Americans. Millions of families benefited from this program, middle income and lower income especially. And yet that program was allowed to expire at the end of last year. So we're talking about the consequences of that for families, particularly here in Illinois, but really this is an American situation. We're speaking about that with Cassie Davis, manager for data and research with Voices for Illinois Children, which put together the Kids Count Report, which looks at the well-being of children in Illinois. Irita Gassner, Vice President of Illinois Policy for Start Early, which is an organization that advocates for early learning and child care. Dylan Belisle is a postdoctoral research associate at the School of Labor and Employment Relations at the U of I, who co-authored a report looking at the child tax credit in a similar program. And Letty Hicks, a parent in East St. Louis, who is part of COFI, which is Community Organizing and Family Issues, also Power Pack Illinois, and a member of the Stepping Out of Poverty campaign. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. 800-222-9455. I want to read some texts we received from our listeners about whether the monthly payments going away were going to affect them. One person said, not me personally, but my godchild, a big pinch, all caps. And oh, getting less back on taxes, they added. Another person texted, no, I didn't miss the payments, and no, they shouldn't be renewed. Sort of a negative view there. Irita, I wonder what you're hearing from families about these payments.
Well, again, I think, you know, in many of our contacts with families are families who are living in lower economic strata. And so that monthly pinch of being able to make ends meet, the kinds of things that a lot of families take for granted that they can go out and do with their kids each month, and opportunities are really important and enriching for kids as they're growing up, seem simple to lots of families. And I think this kind of extra income each month has meant a lot to the families that we work with to ensure that they can, you know, not just have to worry about whether or not they can get enough groceries bought, but actually, you know, buy that pair of shoes or maybe make, you know, get 1 month ahead on their rent. So it's not a constant stressor. So I think, you know, maybe that disconnect you're hearing is from where folks fall on that economic continuum that we have. But as we hear from folks, it's helps a lot to even have a little bit of extra money month to month.
And Cassie, let me ask you, which parts of Illinois have the highest number of children living in poverty?
Thank you for that question. So I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I do know that, you know, pre-pandemic, so research actually shows that to meet basic needs, a family needs to be about at 200% of the federal poverty level. And pre-pandemic, those numbers in 2019 was 35% of Illinois children lived in poverty or near poverty. We don't have the 2020 numbers yet. They actually will be released next month. So just want to flag that. But if we roll back the expanded child tax credit, we can definitely expect those numbers in poverty to increase. You know, Black, Latinx, and Indigenous children have the most to lose with the expansion ending. Poverty impacts them disproportionately at higher rates than other children. And so maintaining the expanded child tax credit is an issue of equity. You know, it's very critical to ensuring that all Illinois families can thrive, especially those that experience both historic and present marginalization.
Dylan, I want to ask you about something that one of the people mentioned in a text message, and this is somebody who acknowledged that they're not them personally, but their godchild foes was feeling their family was feeling a big pinch and getting less back on taxes, they said. And I know your report looked at sort of a similar program, an earned income tax credit program in Chicago a few years back. And there was, it kind of looked at this eligibility question. And I wonder if there are people who got payments in, like maybe the extended tax credit from last year, but then ultimately that either cuts into their tax refunds or maybe they even end up having to pay back the government because of some misunderstanding or misjudgment of eligibility. Is that a big concern or a small concern? How do you think of that?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely something that I think is important to talk about. And I think one thing, so there's a few things that kind of shape how people are experiencing and receiving their tax refunds this year. So one thing is that the government actually changed some withholding tables last year. And so what that meant was that people got more of their income during the year, right? So the government or their employer was withholding less taxes than they normally would. And so they might be seeing slightly smaller tax refunds, right? Because the whole idea of a tax refund is that you paid the government too much money and you're getting some of that money back, right? But for a lot of families, they have like the earned income tax credit, the child tax credit. And if these credits are refundable, that means that once their tax liability is paid, they actually get some more money in their pocket as well. So I do think that, you know, for some families, depending on their circumstance, they might see a slightly smaller tax refund. It's also important to note, like, you know, are you claiming the same children that you claimed the previous year? You know, so this the child tax credit payments were based on who was on their tax return in either 2020 or 2019. So if that's changed, then perhaps they might be having a slightly smaller tax refund. And then I would just say that the other thing that, you know, in terms of the kind of payments during the year, I mean, this was a big focus of our report in looking at the earned income tax credit, which is very much tied to your income, right? And so your income could change from year to year. So your EITC can change from year to year. And one thing that we were very motivated by was that we had many clients coming to our organization at the time who had just very large tax refunds, but, you know, they didn't have, you know, they wanted some of that money during the year as well, right? And so there could be ways that we can sort of shift how we think about tax refunds. Like, do we want, you know, to receive all of it at one time, or do we want to give people the opportunity to get some of it during the year as well, right? And so I think that's another way to think about it. I would say that I really champion making sure that parents and anyone have the opportunity to opt in or opt out, right? If you want that large tax refund, then you should have the opportunity to do that. But I do think it's also important, what we've had the opportunity this last year is to give parents the opportunity to get some of that money during the year to provide, you know, resources that they can draw on for, you know, things that we've been talking about in this conversation.
Well, it was 6 months. It was sort of a natural experiment, Dylan, maybe. Did you see a difference in those, that 6 months?
I mean, I would say that it's too early to kind of report on that. I mean, we are seeing, you know, reports of less food insecurity, less financial hardship, and so forth. But as you said, it is, you know, it's both, you know, as a researcher and a scientist, it's both interesting, but I would also say it's a little frustrating, right? Like, I don't think that we should just treat, you know, people as an experiment. It's obvious that many parents were excited about this. It was obvious that it's been very helpful. And we shouldn't just say, oh, okay, we did this project, you know, we did this nationally, and now we can test it and we can kind of see its impact. Like, this has, you know, real implications on people's lives. And, you know, I think especially now with a lot of different, you know, either it's like the eviction moratorium being lifted, you know, various things that are coming in the near future. And we may see some, you know, economic fallout if we don't take some actions to make sure that parents have everything that they need to, you know, raise their children in, you know, safe and, you know, thriving environments. So yeah, that's what I would say. But I am also, you know, as a researcher, I am excited to see what do we learn. And so we can kind of build that case for this type of policy.
Yeah. I want to bring you back into the conversation, because I think, you know, we heard from one or two text messages, people who were not supporters of this program. I think there may be, what'd you say, misconceptions out there about how people spend the money, right? That maybe it's not going toward essentials for kids, because theoretically it could have been spent on anything, because it wasn't like a SNAP card, for example. I wonder, what would you say to that?
Well, what I would say is that, honestly, I do agree, you know, with their opinions, because that's the same thing that I was thinking as well, that I could have had opted out, but who gonna turn down money when you are struggling to get by every day? Good question. So with that being said, I could have, I could have had opt out, but I couldn't, because I knew that this money was going to support me some kind of way. I also had did the calculations as far as how much would be deducted if I was to continue getting these payments. Although I only have one child, as far as, you know, who the child tax credit was going to be for. And she was over the age of 5, so I knew how much my payments were going to be as far as monthly. And then also calculate like how much we did deduct. And then another thing, I didn't even get all of the payments for the period of 6 months. That's what I would say to families who feel this way. Is that it's natural that, you know, you should feel this way. I'm not going to say that you shouldn't, because even myself still feel this way. It's like you like stuck in the middle. Like, should I get these payments, or should I not get these payments? Either or, you still going to be in a debt spiral. Mm-hmm. A debt spiral is something that you can't get out of. And even when you feel that you are in a And when you feel that you are in a process again out of this death spiral, something else hits you. So if you're not paying bills, or if you're not paying rent, you're paying Uncle Sam.
Yeah,
and it's the death threat. Well, trying to get out of this spiral of debt.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple of minutes left in our conversation. Irina, I want to ask you about a text we received from a listener who said that they thought Congress should consider renewing payments, at least for a portion of the population that's in need. And they also suggested they wanted to see something systematic to increase wages for home health aides for the elderly, as well as preschool teachers and aides. And I wanted to ask you about that because the cost of childcare is a major expense. I think it's a big part of this. And yet preschool teacher wages are very low. I wonder if you have any comments on what that person said as someone who works in the early learning sector.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that for me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you can. Yeah, Irina, go ahead. Sorry.
I would second that sentiment and third and fourth it heartily. I think the continuation of these credits is incredibly important for families. There's a really long history, thanks to the existing child tax credit and the early earned income tax credit of the benefits. And with regard to the early childhood workforce, you know, far too many of them actually have to rely on a whole host of public benefits to make ends meet, because we are not able to pay the wages that they really do deserve. Given the importance of that work and the skill and the education and everything that goes along with it. You know, part of the president's plan also has been to really make childcare and access to preschool a public good and have it available widely across our country. And part of that plan would actually call on raising these wages. And it's a part of our advocacy this spring with our state general assembly to say, look, we've got to deal with this, or we're not going to have the classrooms and the care that all of our families need in order to go to work, go to school, do all the things that we do. So I couldn't agree more. We need a wide ranging set of benefits to support families and children and those who do care and educate them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're going to have to leave this conversation there. I'm sure it's an issue that will continue to be debated as Congress figures out if it is going to try and return these this extended child tax credit. I want to thank Irina Gassner, Dylan Belisle, Letty Hicks, and Cassie Davis for being with us today on the 21st Show. And as I said, that is all the time we have for our program today. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.